request prayer for a special reason in your life or in the life of others, we bid you come. Amen. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to make those needs known tonight, that we might minister in whatever way that we possibly can. Again, it's so good to be here this evening. We thank God again for his mercy and allowing us to be alive until this time. I know that you know that since we met today, that many have quit the walks of life and are now waiting their reward. But God has seen fit to extend our lives just for a little while longer. And for that, I am, and I'm sure you are, eternally grateful. Tonight's lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 3. Some passages there where the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi to encourage them along the way. Philippi seemed to have been one of those pretty, if I could term it this way and understand exactly what I mean, one of those pretty good congregations. Because the Apostle Paul didn't have a lot of bad things to say, quote, bad things to say, when he wrote this letter to them. There seemed to have been some problems going on between some ladies. There are two ladies, but the tone of the letter seemed to indicate that the church was in pretty good spiritual condition. But even so, they still needed to be encouraged. And Philippi was one of those churches also that had sent to Paul time and time again and helped him along the way, and he was eternally grateful for that. And the Spirit had him to write this letter to the church at Philippi to encourage them. And in tonight's lesson, I certainly want to use this as a means of encouragement to us. As children of God, members of the body of Christ, we all need to be encouraged to stay in the fight and to, as he told Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith that we might be able to lay hold on eternal life. Paul said in these passages that we'll be considering tonight, he talked to the church about pressing on and about being able to win the prize, if you will, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Told them what was necessary in order to do that. You see, it's just not enough to be a Christian, but we must be Christians that are striving to win the prize. And oftentimes you might, if you're not careful, let the devil lull us into some state of complacency and saying to us that, well, you're members of the body of Christ, you're members of the one church, and that's the only church that's in the Bible, that's the only church that's going to heaven, so you are members of that church now, so you can just take it easy. Well, I want us to know tonight that we must be more than just members of the church. We must be members of the church that are, even as he tells this church, that are working out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. And one way to work out our soul's salvation with fear and trembling is to be a winner in this race for Christ Jesus. And so tonight I'm talking about characteristics of winners, or character traits of winners, either way you want to term it. And I know that tonight we all like to be winners. You know, when we play the game of pickup basketball, you know, each team wants to win. You know, and when we watch our favorite team on the television, or if we go to our favorite school or to the ball field or whatever it is, we want our favorite team to win. And even when we play a friendly game of cards. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing cards as long as they're the right kind of cards, you know. A long time, you know, they tell me that they used to frown on card playing in the church, but But there are certain card games that you can play, and there's nothing wrong with that. So when you play these right kind of card games, you want to win. Well, as we so well know, that unfortunately, life is not like that as far as these particular things that we engage in this life, that everybody can't always win, that somebody has to lose. A team has to lose. In just a few weeks, the state basketball tournament will get underway down in Birmingham. Well, believe it or not, all of those teams that go to Birmingham are not going to come back winners. Some are going to come back winners, and others are going to come back losers. So we can't lose. I can't really win at everything that we attempt to do in this life. But God has made it possible for his children to be a winner in the Christian game of life, or in the Christian race. That is, for every Christian, he has made it possible for every Christian to be a winner, provided that they possess certain characteristics or certain character traits that will propel them on to victory. Well, what are some of these traits then, or what are some of these characteristics that need to be evident in the Christian life? Let us then examine these few passages tonight before us and see if we can come away with some characteristics that will make sure that we are a winner. And believe it or not, these things that I talk about tonight, that for those who win even in the things of life, these same things are very pertinent and very needful in order to win in the things of this life. And so how much more are these things then necessary for us to win in the Christian race? And I'll talk about some things tonight, quickly about five things I'm going to talk about pointed out in these passages before us tonight. And what I'm going to talk about, they all are going to be started, if you will, with the letter D. So if you want to give the sermon another title, it could be titled Five D's of a Winner. Now, I know in school, you don't want to make a D. You want to stay away from the D's. You want to make at least a C, but you even want to stay away from C's. But in the Christian race, it's all right to make a D. I say in the Christian race, it's all right to make a D. So school children, don't go away tomorrow and say to your teacher that my preacher said that it's all right to make a D in your class. I'm talking about in the Christian race, it's all right to make a D. Well, let's read these scriptures then, and let's see what these five D's are all about. The Bible says in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Characteristics of a winner. Five D's for winning in the Christian race. Go back with me again to verse number 13. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what Paul is saying now? Paul is saying that I don't consider myself to have made the grade. I don't consider myself to have got to where I'm supposed to be. I don't consider myself to yet have won the prize. Therefore, I am not satisfied with where I am. So the first character trait, or the first D in being a winner, is that winners are never satisfied. Winners are never satisfied with where they are. You see, they may have, or the team may win the game, one game, but they're never satisfied with that one game because they know there's another game that's going to come. So you just can't be satisfied with where you are. So therefore, winners then are dissatisfied. We are not satisfied with where we are because Paul says, I haven't got to where I need to be. We tonight must not be satisfied with where we are because we have not got to where we need to be. We are still in this life. We are still going along this journey called life. And in this journey called life, there are going to be some ups, there are going to be some downs, but we want to eventually get to the place where there will always be ups, and that place is heaven. So as long as we're in this life, we haven't got to where we need to be. So we should not be satisfied. On the other hand, we should be dissatisfied with where we are, so much so until we will continue to move on. So don't allow, as I've already said, complacency to set in. Somebody might say, well, as I've said already, I'm a child of God, so what else do I need to do? Well, we still need to continue to be faithful because the devil is still going to try to trip us up. He's still going to try to persuade us not to be faithful, and so we cannot be satisfied with where we are. But we must continue to move on. So there are a couple of churches, even in the book of Revelation, who seem to have become satisfied, seem to have become complacent with where they were. But the Lord knew that they needed to do something else. The Lord knew that something was wrong with them, even in the state that they were. You remember the church at Sardis? The Bible says then, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 1, that they had a name, a reputation that they were alive. But they were dead. That shows me a church that was satisfied with where they were. You see, evidently the people, whoever it was that gave them this name, thought that they were all right. And because they had this reputation, they themselves thought they were all right. So somebody might give us a reputation, but we better make sure that we are exactly what the reputation says. They had a reputation that they were alive, but Jesus says that, in fact, you're dead. So you cannot become satisfied with where you are. Another church was the church at Laodicea. You remember what the Bible says about them? That they were puffed up with their riches, with their material wealth, and they said they had no need of nothing. That shows me a church that was satisfied with their riches. They were satisfied with where they were, but the Lord says that you don't even know that you're wretched, you're poor, you're miserable, and you're blind. It's all right to have riches. It's all right to have wealth. It's all right to have things, but don't become satisfied within those things themselves. Allow those things, if you will, to be a tool to help us to be more faithful to God, to help us to carry out the service that God has for us to perform. You remember what Paul said to Timothy, who was left with the church in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, he says, charge them that are rich not to be high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And he says that you need to communicate, you need to help those, use the riches that you have and help somebody else. Don't become satisfied within the riches that you have within themselves. So don't be like a church at Laodicea who said we don't need anything. If we ever get to that point where we feel like we don't need anything, I want to tell us that we are satisfied with where we are. So Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I am dissatisfied with where I am. I know there's something else that I need to do. Winners then are dissatisfied. What else can we say about winners and their characteristics? Verse number 13 again. He says, but this one thing I do. Did you hear that? This one thing I do. Winners are devoted to the game at hand.
They are devoted.
This one thing I do. We need to be people who are devoted to the one thing. And what is the one thing? The one thing is the work of the Lord. The one thing is our relationship with the Lord. The one thing is the service that the Lord has for us to do. The one thing is to gain heaven. We need to be devoted to that one thing. You see, so many times, so many other things can come in and crowd out our mind, crowd out our attention until we forget what the thing we ought to be devoted to. Sometimes we can involve ourselves in so many other things until we have no time for that one thing. We overextend ourselves. It's all right to be involved in other things, but don't forget where your devotion really lies. Our devotion relies in our relationship to the Lord and what we ought to be doing in his cause. I want to tell you tonight that no athlete succeeds when he tries to play everything or tries to do everything. He's got to pick out him one sport, no more than two, I would say, and concentrate on those if he wants to succeed. There's just been a few people who have been successful in two sports. A couple of them, you know, Deion Sanders, and he was successful, but he didn't last long. Bo Jackson, he was successful in two sports, didn't last long. But suppose that they had tried basketball, football, volleyball, soccer, hockey, all those things. How far do you think they would have gotten? I'm saying to us tonight that if we want to win in the race for Christ, we got to be devoted Christians and devoted to the cause of Christ. The one thing, we need to be devoted to Jesus Christ. Not only that, there's something else about winners. Verse number 13 again. Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Winners have direction in which they want to go. Paul had a direction in which he wanted to go. And he knew if he was going to win the prize that he couldn't keep looking in the wrong direction. You notice what he says? Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before. You notice when the coach of the losing team is interviewed and he's asked, what about this game and what about the next game that's coming up? You know what he says? Well, we lost this one. We got to focus on the one that's coming. You know, he can stand there and talk all day long to that commentator about the one he lost. He'll never win it because it's lost. He says, I got to forget about this one. We hate, we lose, we lost it. But I got to look forward, our team got to look forward to the next game. So Paul says now, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before, we must have a direction in which we want to go, and it must be the right direction. We've got to focus in the right direction. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62? He said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we may have messed up back there terribly, and no doubt all of us did. But we can't keep looking back that way. We got to be thankful to God that he has blessed us to come out of that messed up life and has redeemed us, cleansed us with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and has placed us into his body. And yes, we're sorry, no doubt, about all of those things, but we can't keep focusing on them, because if we keep focusing on those things back there, we'll never be able to reach forward.
Amen.
So winners have a direction in which they need to go, which they intend to go. We must have a direction in which we intend to go. And that direction must be in the future, because we can't undo the past. What's in the past is gone. The only thing we can change is now, and hopefully change even more if we have to change in the future. But we can't do anything to erase the past. So winners have direction. If you're going to win for Christ Jesus, you must move in the right direction. But then in moving in the right direction, Paul says something else. Verse number 14. He says, I press toward the mark. That gives me the idea of determination. Winners are determined. The team that goes to the state, that team is determined to win. They are going to do everything that they possibly can to win. That's called determination. If we're going to win in this race for Christ Jesus, we must be determined. Paul says, I press toward the mark. I am determined to reach the mark. The mark is out there, but I won't reach it unless I'm determined to reach it. And so I've got to press toward the mark. I must involve myself in intense endeavor. You remember what Jude said to his listeners? He says, contend earnestly for the faith. That's that intenseness. That's that determination. That's that commitment. Paul says, I press toward the mark. Oh, I say again, it would be so good for us tonight to have the same intensity about winning the prize in Christ Jesus' army or the prize in the Christian race. It would be so good for us to be as determined in that as we are determined to win the game in Birmingham. Determined to win the game of cards. Determined to win the game of volleyball out here on the court when we have the picnic the next time, if the Lord bless us to have a picnic and have a volleyball game. Many times people are more determined in these other things than they are in winning for Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul says, I press toward the mark. Winners then are determined. And then the fifth D comes in verse 15 through 16. Listen to what he says. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What are you saying, Paul? Paul is saying, as many as would be mature, as many as would be winners, you got to have the same mind that I have. He had just discussed with them the mind that he had. What was the mind that he had? Well, let's go back over it again. He says, first of all, I'm dissatisfied with where I am. I count not myself to have apprehended. What else did he say? He said, but this one thing, I am devoted, I am dedicated, devoted to one thing. What else did he say? He says, I'm not going to concentrate on the past. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to live in the future. And what else did he say? He says, I'm going to press. That is, I am determined. So now he says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be perfect, many who want to win have the same mind that I have. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Lastly then, winners are disciplined people. Winners are disciplined people. You see, it's not enough to run hard in the race, but you must run hard by the right rule in the race. Winners are disciplined. It takes discipline to walk by the same rule. And yes, we do have a rule, and that rule is the Word of God. We do have laws, we do have regulations, we do have directions in which we are to abide by. And that is found in the Word of God. Paul, on another occasion when he wrote to Timothy, who was to encourage the church at Ephesus, he says, if any man strive for the mastery, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he says, if any man strive for the mastery or for the prize or the trophy, he said, yet is that man not crowned except he strive lawfully. Yeah. He was saying that you got to run, you got to play, you got to abide by the rules. And in order to abide by the rule, you got to be disciplined. Yes, indeed, tonight,
winners must be disciplined. You see, in the final analysis, it's not what the player thinks, but it's how the judge calls it or how the referee calls it. And I know in the games in this life, sometimes the referee and the judges, they make mistakes. But we have a judge who will not make any mistakes. So it's not how we think we have run the race, but it's how the judge of all the earth thinks that we have run the race. That race then must be run according to his will. And if we are going to run according to his will, we've got to be disciplined people in order to win. Yes, in the games of life, in this life that is, everybody can't win. Somebody got to lose. But in the game of the spiritual life, everybody can win, provided that we run according to the way God has directed us to run. And these traits, these characteristics that I've shared with you tonight, I hope and trust that we will all have the same mind that the Apostle Paul had. Let us, as he encouraged the church at Philippi to be thus minded, let us at Northwest be thus minded. Let us, if you will, again, not be satisfied, but on the contrary, be dissatisfied. Let us be devoted people. Let us be determined people. Let us be people who are disciplined. Let us be people who will just run all the way according to the rules. God wants us to win. The question is, do we want to win? You see, again, contrasting the games in this life, everybody can want to win, but everybody can't win. But in the game of the spiritual life, everybody ought to want to win, and everybody can win. But only those who do it according to God's will win. So I trust tonight that I can encourage you to do it according to God's will. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the call of the gospel, you realize that you stand a guilty distance from God because you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you tonight, be dissatisfied with that. Don't be satisfied not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear and believe the gospel, repent of your past sins, confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Be buried in a water of grace of baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. And then run the race in the spiritual journey. Having these characteristics that I've talked about tonight, be faithful unto death. And the Lord says, I'll give you a crown of life.
Yes.
You need to come to the Lord tonight. Why not come? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you find yourself not possessing these characteristics that we've talked about tonight, please know that you can't win like that. You've got to exemplify the same characteristics that Paul was exemplifying in his life if you want to win the race in the spiritual journey. So if you need to make some amends, you need to make some changes tonight, why not do that? Perhaps some of those changes may mean that you need to repent of an erring way. If you need to do that, why not do that tonight? And if you need to confess, do that tonight. Like you just desire prayer. Whatever your need is. While they don't wait for our mercy, while we stand, while we sing, will you come?